Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, before we jump into the show, we're excited to tell you about some game-changing coffee. Strava Craft Coffee is the CBD-enriched coffee that has really changed lives. The reviews are incredible, so make sure you check them out. This CBD-infused coffee has taken away long-term migraines, back pain, arthritis, IBS. It's helped decrease anxiety, whatever it is, you name it. CBD is an all-natural and non-psychoactive ingredient, and the coffee is rich and tasty. Check it out for yourself today and receive 20% off when you use the code BSN2019 at checkout, and you'll get it shipped straight to your door. Let's jump into the show.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the Coors from Mile High, the best part of the weekend. Hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend. Having a good time when the orange and blue WIN.
Welcome in to the BSN Broncos podcast. Ryan Konigsberg and Zach Stevens coming to you from, well, my apartment today. No Broncos today, so we are here at the Elixinol Studios, if you want to call it that, and make it a little more fancy. We're also live on Periscope, so to anyone who's joining us there, we welcome you into the show. But Zach, I want to start today with something a little different than what we would normally do. I guess it's not exactly Broncos talk, but there is a Denver angle here. So let's start here. Denver did not get the draft, which was actually expected. They had a decent chance to get it last year. I think they ended up making the right call with Nashville. Nashville was awesome. But I guess it's not that that Denver didn't get it that surprises me. It's who did get it. And that is Cleveland. Now, we have listeners everywhere, and I'm sure we have someone in Cleveland. But let's be real here. Cleveland or Denver?
Come on. Come on. Especially, you know, with the package of potentially red rocks overlooking the city, the beautiful amphitheater. But Cleveland?
Someone joked on Twitter. They said the 2021 NFL draft has been awarded to Cleveland. Someone was like, man, I know they've been bad, but giving them the whole all the draft picks seems kind of extreme. Like, that's what it feels like. It's like, why would you go to Cleveland before you go to Denver? I get, like, cool, yeah, they have Baker Mayfield and, like, OBJ and Kareem Hunt, and, like, that's exciting. But that has nothing to do with the draft.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Are we awarding it to the team? Or are we awarding it to the players? Or are we awarding it to the city? Because fans, when they travel here in the draft, I mean, the NFL has done a fantastic job with the draft, making it a destination. A vacation is something that people want to be at. What? How many people were in Nashville? Like 100,000 on the streets or something? I think they said it during the draft, and I looked at you and said, what in the – that is absurd.
And we were sitting there saying, like, What are those people doing? But it made sense in Nashville, I guess. It was the weather was nice. It was on an awesome street where you could just pop. You could go in, get a drink at, you know, Joe's Tavern, pop back out, watch, I guess, like some teams announce that they are going to pick a player, go back in, do whatever you can. But that's also one complaint or issue I would have with it being at Red Rocks. Mm-hmm. You're stuck. You're trapped in Red Rocks.
Also, do you know the capacity of Red Rocks?
It's about 10,000.
Exactly. 9,525.
Yeah. I mean, for, I guess, reference there, that's half of the Pepsi Center.
Right.
Or if you're like me, you would equate it to the Coors Event Center up in Boulder. That's essentially 10,000.
I thought we were going Folsom Field.
Folsom Field is a lot bigger than that. But that new stadium they built in Fort Collins is about that size.
Yep.
No, I'm sure it's beautiful. But that's very small. I mean, if you think of the Coors Event Center, if you've ever been there for a CU basketball game, it's not a large venue. And that's a problem with Red Rocks. Now, you could probably pack in a couple extra thousand up in the top little terrace area if you make that, like, you could make that, like, Draft City or whatever.
Let's say you make it 50% more. You're only at 15,000.
Well, I think, and, you know, I wasn't in the pitch. I think what you would do is take one of those top parking lots and expand that, and maybe all of the top parking lots.
Yeah.
And that becomes like Draft City.
Right.
And so you can still branch out. But here's the problem. You're still stuck in Morrison, Colorado.
Unless you extend Draft City all the way down 6th to Denver.
There you go. Now we're talking. You can hit some like sweet little taco joints on your way down as you walk through.
You could do a 9-hole golf course on your way.
Which one?
Any? No, make
they
one.
They build one? Yeah. It's like the march to Denver and everyone can just kind of pair off, do it. There's laser tag.
The draft does expand to 30 days too in order for you to make it the whole way.
Why wouldn't they just keep adding stuff to the draft?
There'd be no reason.
They should make something called the 8th round, which is broadcast on Sunday.
Yep.
And that's when like they go like live to all the players' houses who didn't get drafted. Mm-hmm. And they're like inside and they're taking phone calls. Like,
but why are you suggesting this, Ryan? We want Sunday off.
We need Sunday. It's not that we want Sunday off. We need Sunday off. But speaking of making the draft more, what's the word, dramatic, I guess.
Interesting,
and making more money off the draft, which is already absurd that they can make as much money as they already do off of just saying, like, hey, the teams are picking players.
Yeah.
Tune in. I mean, and tens of millions of people do.
Especially, really quick, compare it to every other draft. The NBA draft has a little bit of build-up. For
the first four picks.
Exactly. Then everyone's tuned out. If you're not one of those markets, then you don't care. I mean, does anyone really care about the number one overall pick this year? We'll know before the draft card is turned in.
When Nikola Jokic was picked.
Right.
They were playing a Taco Bell commercial. That is a real story. It went to commercial. That's how, like, important that's the second round.
Yeah.
In the NFL, the second round is still primetime television.
Yep.
This was like, you know, just, it was only on NBA TV.
Yep.
And they're playing a Quesarito commercial while the greatest big man of this generation was selected.
And what about, could there even be a commercial break for the MLB draft? I've never watched it on TV. I didn't know it was on. I don't know if it's on TV.
I think it's on MLB TV.
Okay.
Just like that. It's actually like an inch. I just remember watching, I think it was actually the Brendan Rodgers draft. I actually watched that one. And
because you knew this day was going to come.
Yeah. And it was weird. They have like, they built this set and there was like dugouts on the set. Gosh. Like Brendan Rodgers is like in the dugout waiting to get selected.
No way.
So none of the other ones are as dramatic or as built up. But there's one thing that the NBA and NHL have that gives them intrigue about the draft before the draft. And that is the lottery. And I found it highly interesting that when the NBA draft lottery happened just a few weeks ago, an official NFL-owned account tweeted at the official NFL account, because the official account, this is getting confusing, the official account was at NFL Draft. They tweeted at NFL and said, hey, we want a lottery too. What do you think of that?
I thought it was a great, great tweet because of the dynamic you talked about. Ah, a lottery. Ryan, let me just uncork you.
A lottery? You know what I think? A lot of BS. No, I'm not okay with this.
Mm.
And I don't know if I'm going to get my tinfoil hat on right now, but I don't trust. I don't trust anything. I don't trust you. I don't trust myself. I don't trust anyone. And I don't like putting something out there that gives me another chance to not trust you.
Mm.
Because you know what? I realized that the New Orleans Pelicans got the number one overall pick, which good for them. As we know, great city.
Wild city.
But the Lakers still jumped up.
Mm.
And that kind of ground my gears. I was like, I don't know about that. Because the Lakers had like a 1% chance of getting into the lottery. How did they get in there? And I realized that...
What, they're four? They got up to four?
Yeah. So now you're giving me more reason to not trust you. People already want to believe the NBA is rigged because mm-hmm. it's the game that the officials have the most impact on. And football's not far after it. But, I mean, the officials can blow the whistle every play in a basketball game.
Yeah.
And there's a foul to be called probably on every play. And the same thing goes for the NFL. And I don't – I mean – when we were in New Orleans 2 years ago, our Uber driver was talking about how he believed the NFL was rigged.
He was dead set on believing the NFL was rigged. How does he feel now?
I know. I was going to say that was before the pass interference or non-pass interference. So he's probably done with the NFL at this point.
Yep.
But I don't want to give them I don't want to give myself another reason to say this is shady because – it's just, I don't know. I think the NFL is so perfect when it comes to parody. And I know people will point to the whole Manning, Brady, and Roethlisberger, and Flacco being in all of the Super Bowls for the last 18 years. So when it comes to the highest of highs, there isn't as much parody as we want to believe there is. But there is parody. And the teams that suck cannot suck actually pretty fast. And... We're hoping to benefit off of that, right? And, you know, we sit here and we think the Broncos can go from 6-10 to 10-6 in one season. Maybe we aren't going to predict it, but there's a lot of precedent to say the Broncos can turn it around that fast. You nail free agency, you nail the draft, you get a new quarterback, you can go from 6-10 to 10-6. And part of that is the draft, and part of that has to exist. Because the bad teams are instantly rewarded. Who is a team who just barely missed the playoffs this year?
That's a hard question.
I mean...
The Steelers.
Okay, the Steelers. That's a great example. A generally proud franchise mm-hmm. who... You know, it's good for the NFL when the Steelers are good. Like, everyone starts thinking of these old school franchises.
Yep.
And everyone's like, man... what happened to the Steelers, bro? That used to be great.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, the Steelers, amid all their dysfunction, are rewarded with the number one overall pick.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, the Arizona Cardinals, my Arizona Cardinals, go from being the worst team in the NFL and thinking they're going to be able to get Kyler Murray as their quarterback
mm-hmm.
to they're picking like sixth.
Mm.
And now... the Steelers got Nick Bosa because they don't need a quarterback. And another team, like, I'm blanking on another team that would be in that vein.
Yeah.
But they bumped up. Maybe the Broncos got bumped up, and that's good for us. But I'm not going to trust that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is BS. They're trying to reward the Rooney family because they're like a classic NFL royalty family.
Or just think about if the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs.
Exactly. I mean, they're the Lakers, right? They're the same thing.
Yep.
So that gives me a lot of pause. And that is why I say it ain't broke. So don't fix it. The NFL draft is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And our team's going to tank? Sure. But do we really care if the... 1-11 Arizona Cardinals are like purposely losing their last four games.
How much tanking is there really in football? I mean, do you think when Arizona fired their head, or no, did Steve Wilks keep his job throughout the year?
Yes.
when they fired Mike McCoy and brought in, who is it, Byron Leftwich? Is that the Jacksonville Jaguars backup quarterback that came in?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it
was
him.
It wasn't David Garrard?
I don't know. It could be. When they brought him in, do you think he said, you know what, I'm not going to make this offense as good as it can be in order so that the Arizona Cardinals can get the number one overall pick and I'll lose my job after this year? No, he came in, and I think there's tanking more so in other sports than there is in football. I mean, you go back to Suck for Luck. That was, you know, they weren't trying to bring in a great quarterback to replace Peyton Manning that year because they knew what they had on their hands by being bad and getting Andrew Luck. You don't see it all that often. So I'm not worried about putting a lottery in place in order to stop tanking, because I don't think it's a huge epidemic and problem in the NFL. But Ryan, be selfish a little bit. Do you think the Broncos in the foreseeable future are going to have a chance at the number one overall pick?
We can only hope not.
Do you think the Broncos, is there a chance in the foreseeable future they miss the playoffs?
Very much so.
So wouldn't the Broncos benefit from this?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the franchises who generally don't suck most of the time would benefit from this.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other teams that would benefit, like, we already know the Patriots are going downhill quick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not this year, maybe not next year. Eventually, the hill is going to drop off, and they are going to hit rock bottom.
Unless Stid's the truth.
I hope he is, because I watched the Draft Academy and I kind of like him. But
how dare you say that?
But what if they don't bottom out, you know? Wouldn't it be nice for everyone to just get a break from the Patriots?
Sure would be.
But if there's a lottery,
mm.
You know, we're sitting there saying, man, this is going to end in a happy ending for Bob Kraft.
Trevor Lawrence falls to him.
It took you a second. But right?
You threw in the Bob. You went casual.
Yeah. But that just gives me pause. And I don't want to live in a world where I have to question the NFL. And why can't it just be like this? It's a lottery put on by a third party. And even then, I wouldn't trust it 100%. But, like, they bring in, like, Deloitte or whoever.
Isn't that
like,
what all of them do, technically?
I don't think so, do they?
Really? I don't know.
I watched the NHL draft lottery, and it was just, like, the commissioner, and there's, like, the ping pong balls. And I still don't believe it's real, because I'm like, first of all, it wasn't live. So they just showed us a video of it. I'm like, they could just do this.
What are you hiding?
Yeah. Like,
right. They could do it 10 times until they get the result.
Until they get
the
right one. And they're like, well, there's a independent journalist who's watching over this. I'm like, well, you don't think this guy can be bought? Tell you what, if the NFL had a draft lottery and they brought me in as the independent journalist and they were like, hey, here's six figures.
Yep.
You say that it was real. I'm like, yeah, of course I'll do that. So that's where I'm like, I don't want to see it unless it's a live broadcast of the lottery. And even then, I'm still going to be skeptical.
Fair.
But at least I can see what's happening right before my eyes. There's no sleight of hand going on, and I can feel comfortable with it.
What are you doing? What are you hiding if it's not live?
What do you think they're hiding? They're rigging the damn lottery.
Exactly. I don't know how they back that. So that I completely agree with you there. Now, if they did this, let's say the NFL draft Twitter, literally the NFL's draft Twitter account, convinces Roger Goodell and all of the owners to do this. Isn't the NHL set up where if you're like one of the top three worst teams, you're guaranteed a top three pick or guaranteed a top four pick? You can't fall out of the fourth pick or something?
Yeah, no, it's the lottery only. And I could be wrong here, so sorry to any hockey fans who listen. But I believe it's the lottery is only set up for the first three picks.
Oh, and then the rest is just how the standings finish. Okay, so sticking with that, would you want it like that? Or would you want it how the NBA has it, where it's just any team that didn't make the playoffs? Or do you want to expand it, and any team that didn't win the Super Bowl gets thrown in here? And obviously your odds decrease.
Well, yeah, the NHL also has a thing where as long as you don't make the conference finals, you can hold your spot. So the Avs were slotted to pick 16th by the end of the season.
Okay.
And if they had beat the Sharks,
right,
they would have been dropped all the way to 28th or whatever it was. Right. But since they didn't make the conference finals, they held their spot.
Okay.
That makes sense to me, too. I want no part of this. It's ugly. I don't know. And people already have such an issue with the NFL, and they want to believe that, you know, the Patriots get an unfair whistle. Mm-hmm. And they want to believe all this stuff. Just imagine, let's say the Patriots are bad, and let's say it's real. It's a real lottery, and the Patriots somehow win the first lottery. Can you imagine the outrage?
And it's for Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, my God. Make me sick.
So you would want to cap it off at playoff teams.
I don't want
if
a lottery.
Went down this route. Okay, but now let me throw this out there. What do we say is the worst place to be in the NFL in terms of, like, draft and record?
This is going to be a good point. 8-8. You don't want to be 8-8.
Exactly, because you get stuck picking at 18 in the draft, or 17 or 16. Wouldn't this benefit those teams a little bit? Potentially, I guess, give them a chance?
Yes.
And then if a team, let's say the Cardinals, the worst team this year, they fall to 5 and have to get some Nick Bosa bust at 5. They don't get the quarterback they need. Aren't they probably going to be up there again next year? And then if you add those odds of getting the number one pick this year and getting the number one pick next year, probably pretty high if you're the worst team each year, right? Like, it's bound to happen. They're bound to get that guy next year, right?
Yeah. I like the idea of not, like, there being a slight reward for being 8-8. It's like, well, you didn't make the playoffs, but you're still in the lottery.
Right.
Because that at least gives teams something to play for. I mean, what week was it? It was probably like week 7 last year where we started talking about the Broncos tanking.
Yep.
We're like, just tank. Yeah. Just, what are you doing? Why are you trying to win these games?
Yep.
At least in that case, we'd be saying, like, well, you're still going to be in the lottery. We know they're not making the playoffs. And think of it this way. They're 6-10, picking at 10th this year, so they would have had the 10th best odds of getting the number one overall pick. Can you imagine the excitement?
Yep.
Only problem is the Denver team has literally never benefited from one of these.
That's very true. The Broncos are different, though.
They are different.
When you look at how enticing it would be for the Broncos to get a top pick compared to the Nuggets or the Avs, no disrespect. Maybe the Avs are a little different, but to the Nuggets specifically. And, you know, don't let this year cloud your judgment in that. Probably not as enticing for one of those teams to get it, where the Broncos, I do think there'd be a reason for Roger Goodell to pull a different ball.
There are benefits. I think the NFL, in many ways, and I'm not going to get into, like, social stuff, but in many ways, the NFL is perfect. It's why it's the most watched. It's why everyone tunes in every Sunday, Monday, mm-hmm. Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. Well, no, it doesn't matter when you put a game. Everyone's watching. It doesn't even matter who's playing.
Yep.
People are watching because the NFL's product is just great. And everyone watches the draft. And you don't need to build the extra intrigue. But I guess my final point on this will be the fact that they tweeted that makes me think it's coming sooner than later.
That's a really good point. And Ryan,
if there's one thing the NFL can't pass up, it's money. And that's a 15 million viewer event.
It's exactly what I was going to say. Do you think more people would watch the draft or the draft lottery? Because remember, the draft is over 3 days, and the first round probably gets a lot of viewers. The draft lottery, I mean, you make it a...
Everyone's team has a chance.
Exactly. And you make it a one-hour special. People only have to tune in for 1 hour, but you put 17 commercial breaks in there and put 5 presenting sponsors on there. You are raking in the cash. And you do it a week before, you do it a month before. It doesn't matter when you do it. Oh, man. Talk about the moolah they're going to make.
I mean, they could go full Kentucky Derby on it.
Yeah,
6 hours of lead up for 10 minutes of action.
They could even have Von Miller being a fashion correspondent. They could make this an event.
Oh, they got it red carpeted out. They could do it. Well, no, they already get viewers on that. I was going to say they could pair it with NFL honors. But they could make it its own event.
You put the GMs with the owners up there. Kind of like the NBA, but you make it even more dramatic. You have John Elway throwing his hat across the room.
It's happening. I can just feel it now. It's going to happen. But it already works so well because the Cardinals are going to come up the line this year and they're going to beat that 5.5 line they have in Vegas. And, you know, Kyler Murray is going to be exciting. And it works the way it is right now. I like the way it is right now.
I'm pulling up I'm trying to pick out a team right now.
And real quick, I just don't care if the three worst teams in the league are trying to like outsuck at the end of the season.
But Ryan, take your part out of your Arizona Cardinals. What would be better for the league? Kyler Murray on the Cardinals or Kyler Murray on the New York Giants?
Yeah, it's obviously the Giants, or for that matter, even the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
Would be better for the league. The Cardinals are, like, arguably one of the most irrelevant franchises in the NFL.
Throw them there with Tampa Bay, Jacksonville.
Yeah. Something about those warm city southern teams.
People just have better things to do down there, I guess.
A lot of golf to be played in Arizona. A lot of golf. All right, let's move on here to a little more Broncos talk. And quickly, do you want to quickly touch on Chris Harris now or save that for the questions?
Let's save it for the questions.
Okay, so then let's talk a little bit here in the first segment about what we heard yesterday from Deshaun Hamilton. And this is becoming a tradition here. Who else talked?
Dakota Watson.
Correct. My memory is eluding me. Dakota Watson was refreshing, man.
He was great. I mean, what a great person to have in your organization, especially for Tom McMahon. This is a guy, he admitted, he said, yeah, I'm a special teams player. You know, I'll play some defense, but I've made a lot of money in this league for 10 years now playing special teams, and I'm going to tell these guys, I'm going to lead these younger guys by telling them, you can make a living playing special teams. And when I was listening to that quote later, Ryan, I thought, boy, he has one of the best jobs on the team. I mean, you point to Casey Kreider as a long snapper. Brandon McManus is a kicker. There's a little pressure on a kicker, so maybe that's not the best job. But Dakota Watson, if you can etch that role out for yourself, and Andy Janovich isn't like that anymore because I think he's going to have a pretty significant role on the offensive side of the ball. Dakota Watson may on defense as well, but he's going to make this team playing special teams. What is he? He's a blocker probably on punt return and kickoff or kick return, which, I mean, what happens on kickoff and kick return anyways nowadays? Not much. He probably runs and tries to get guys on punt and kickoff. I mean, what a job to have and get paid. He's got to be making a million, right? If he's a 10-year vet.
Yeah, more than that probably.
Man, what a life. So, and he brings the right attitude. He's a great guy to have here.
Yeah, I mean, every question he hit on the head.
Yeah.
And you know a guy's real when it's not because he's been like a quarterback his whole life and he's been dealing with this right. stuff. Like, he's just being real with us.
Yeah.
And I asked him last time we were here, and this is significant. You know what the depth chart looked like last time he was here? Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, Shane Ray, Shaq Barrett. Three first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Shaq Barrett, who had earned his, you know, earned his keep by that time. And then Dakota Watson. He was the fifth outside linebacker on this team.
Very well could have not made the team.
Very, I mean, he made the team because he had four sacks in the preseason.
He was a beast.
And he was balling out on special teams. And, you know, whoever it was at the time, Joe DeCamillis, loved him. Now he's here. He could very well be the third outside linebacker on this team. In fact, would you say that he's the favorite?
Yes.
He's the favorite to be the third outside linebacker on the team. I asked him that. I said, last time you were here, you were buried on the depth chart. Is it exciting to you knowing that you actually have a chance this time to get some snaps on defense? And I 100% believed him. But he's essentially like, I don't care. I obviously want to play on defense, but if my role is only special teams, I'm okay with that too. And I'll cherish the relationships I built with Shane, Shaq, and DeMarcus for the rest of my life. And that's more important to me than a little bit of playing time here and there. And like, I 100% believed every word.
I did too. And what a great mentor to have. And Ryan, he likes Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you got that's me. Not, that's you, got me. You know what he also likes is Colorado. I have to read this because I thought it was awesome. He was just talking about like how excited he was when he found out he was going to get a chance to come back to Denver. He's like, when you get traded, you have no idea where you're going. You could be going to Cleveland, of all places, or you could be going to Denver. And he's like, I was so excited to find out I was going back to a place I loved, with players who are, you know, there are players here who I'm friends with. I love the organization. But someone said, like, why were you so excited about coming to Denver? He said, everything. I'm a country boy. Just being able to see the mountains. Y'all complain about the snow, but I love it. I don't care about it. Just being able to fish, to be able to do a little bit of hunting. The air smells good. The air tastes good. Everything. The people are very nice, and the fan base is awesome.
Did he mention water?
He didn't. I thought maybe that's what he meant. But you know what? If you don't think the air in Colorado tastes good, you've never been here.
So Colorado has the best tasting air, too. We're putting that out there.
I mean, have you ever been to a place where you feel like you're like breathing in something that tastes bad?
I love New York City and Manhattan, but every time you see a trash can, which is anywhere you look, you're eating that smell.
Right. It's like when you go into like a place that serves so much fried food and you're like, I feel like I'm gaining weight just breathing the air in here. That's how you're like, I feel like I'm dying just breathing here. In Colorado, like, you walk outside, especially right now, a crisp day. Mm. You walk outside and you just feel like you're like getting healthier with every breath.
I could eat this all day, Ryan.
But anyways, Dakota was refreshing. And you ended up writing a story on this. Deshaun Hamilton had some interesting comments about the Broncos offense.
He did. And Ryan, I talked to you after we talked to Deshaun. And just wanted to make sure that I was on the same page as you. And the thought process this entire offseason has been that the Broncos are catering their offense to go against the grain. John Elway went against the grain hiring Vic Fangio, an old defensive guy, instead of a young, hot, up-and-coming offensive guy. Well, it seemed like they were doing the same on the offensive side of the ball, going with Rich Scangarello, but really going with a run first, under center, slow it down type of offense. Deshaun said, no, that's not the case at all. He said, this is what the offense is about. He said, guys getting the ball in space, running between the tackles, setting up play action. Then when you set up the play action with a good run game, guys are going to be open way farther down the field.
So Joe Flacco, way further down the field.
We're not talking 10 yards like last year, guys.
No. And he went on and he said something, I don't know why, but it resonated with me. He said, this offense is about getting premier guys open. Mm. And maybe they're just bad. They were just bad at it. But like, when is the last time you saw Emmanuel Sanders get the ball without people around him?
No.
It's always like contested. He's like sliding. He's diving. He's, you know, catching it on the sidelines. I feel like I haven't seen Emmanuel Sanders get the ball in open space in the last 3 years once. And I'm sure that's not right. I mean, he had that long catch against the Cardinals, which I guess, I mean, there's really no one around him. It was a busted coverage. But I feel like I don't see guys. I never saw guys getting the ball in space.
How much would you love to see an open Emmanuel Sanders get the ball 7 yards downfield where he has room to juke guys and move and hit full speed? You're right. It's something we haven't seen.
Based off of watching this offense the last 3 years, you would think that's not a possible thing to achieve. Like, honestly, you would think like, well, I don't know why, but it's just impossible to get Emmanuel Sanders in open space. What about Philip Lindsay? Mm. Like, the only time you really saw Phil get in open space last year was 10 to 15 yards down the field, right? He made it through the fire and flames and came out on the other side and he was off to the races. Mm-hmm. At CU, man, half of the offense was just get the ball to Phil in open space. Like, if it was a pass play, you had Phil running out to the flat. And if there was only one guy out there, you throw it to him no matter what. Like, that was the offense.
Yeah.
That'll be part of this is, okay, clear it out with the routes. You know, you're taking 4 or 5 routes beyond 15 yards, and now you've got Phil on a linebacker in the flat. Just toss it over there. He's got to beat one person, and now he's in the open space. So much of this offense is what I always say college offense is about. College offense is very different than the NFL. In the end, it just comes down to, can you get easy yards? Like in college, you're just trying to get 7 yards easily.
Yep.
And if you can do that consistently, you're going to score a ton of points. That's why college has more points scored, because it is easier to get guys open. And if you watch like what CU did to CSU last year in the first game of the season,
of course,
it was just easy. Like, their whole game plan was take Laviska Shenault, line him up on the left side of the line, snap the ball. He runs across the line. Now you've got a linebacker on him. And no matter what, even if they could tackle him, which they couldn't, he was going to get 7 yards because he's just faster than them. That was the game plan. They just kept doing it over and over again. He scored like 2 touchdowns off of it.
It's a weird concept, getting your best players the ball in a good position for them to succeed, isn't it?
Very odd. But
seriously, if you've watched the Broncos offense the past few years, you would think that is a phenomenal idea.
I'm having like PTSD. Just like plays are just running through my head.
Yeah.
Of just everything they do. You ever watch a basketball game where the team that is losing is like constantly down by 7?
Yep.
Like, it just seems like they started the game down 7 and if they've played in a perfectly equal game the entire way.
Yeah.
But one thing you always notice about the team that's down 7 is it feels like everything they're doing is using so much energy.
Yeah.
Whereas the other team like passes it around and they're like no look passes, wide right. open corner 3. They got it. And then the next time down, the team that's down is like struggling and they like fumble the ball around a little bit and then they get it out of the post and then it looks like they're going to score, but then it gets like tipped out and it lands in some guy's hands and he makes it 3. And they're still down 7. But it was like, wow, that took 10 times as much energy as that.
Yep.
That's what every Broncos game has felt like for the last 3 years.
It's exactly right.
Like, they're close. Most of them are close, mm-hmm. but it feels like every yard takes a village.
That's why the Vance Joseph defense got so much blame last year. And then you and I would take a step back at the end of the game and say, it was ugly. They looked terrible. They only gave up 17 points to, like, you know, a really good offense.
That's what it's been like.
Yeah.
In the post-Peyton era.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, Broncos got killed by the Patriots. And you're like, oh, it was 19-3. You're like, the defense kept Tom Brady under 300 yards passing.
Yep.
And they scored 19 points. And they had to kick 4 field goals.
Yeah.
And it feels like they just got smoked.
So are we past those days?
We can only hope. I don't know how much more my body can take that. I don't know how much longer I can watch that.
If there's a lottery in place, maybe the Broncos got
Kyler.
Broncos
could have had
year.
Kyler.
Actually, we know that's the one team that couldn't have had Kyler.
What would have happened if the Broncos had the number one pick? Would they have taken Nick Bosa?
Drew Lock?
Drew Lock number one over. I mean, honestly, what do you think would have happened?
Quinnen?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, you pair him up with Chubb and Vaughn.
You know what I need? I need an audio clip of Quinnen Williams saying Halle Berry. It's kind of like Kyler Murray. But
how do you think he says it?
Halle Berry. And that just sounds great to me. I want that. I want that sound clip in my life.
Oh, man. He is such a
character. Can I just ask him, like, I want to go to a press conference and be like, Quinnen, do you know who starred in Batwoman?
He'd probably know.
I feel like he would know. And then I get that.
The Broncos don't play the Jets this year, do they?
Probably not.
No. Next time they do, though.
Oh, that Jets game last year. That's a good example. Well, that was kind of a blowout. But even then, you're like, why is everything so hard?
Yeah. Miserably difficult.
So difficult. All right. That is a good first segment. Let's move on here. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Weinster. If you're like me and you're trying to figure out how to become a mature, refined adult, or if you just really like wine, you have to check out our friends over at Weinster. Weinster is an innovative, online, direct-to-consumer wine club connecting wine drinkers with more than 110 of the best wineries in America today. What makes Weinster so special is that the majority of the wineries they work with are too small to attract the attention of retailers, meaning not only are you getting access to some delicious and hard-to-find wines, you're also supporting real people making real wine, not one of the few large corporations producing most of the wines available in stores. With Weinster, all you got to do is sit back and relax as they curate a hand-picked shipment from some of the best small wine producers in the U.S. Then when you fall in love with a couple of them, as a club member, you can have them sent right back to your door with no shipping costs. And of course, I love my people over at Weinster because it was founded by three CU Boulder alums. Sign up today with the code BSN25, that's BSN25, and you'll get $25 off your first shipment of wine and start being a real grown-up. That's Weinster, W-I-N-E-S-T-Y-R. You guys got to check it out. It's awesome. The people over there are great. It's the BSN of wine clubs, and if you love us, you got to love them.
How can you not like wine? How can you not like BSN? How can you not like the BSN of wines?
BSN of wines. That should be a, that should be their slogan. People, all these like bougie wine people in Chicago are like, what the hell are they talking about?
I like it though.
All right. As we move on here, let's hop into the questions from yesterday's podcast. As you all know, and if you don't know, each day we accept questions from the subscribers to bsndenver.com who leave them on the last day's podcast. I constantly get questions about this. When you subscribe, just go into the most recent podcast that was posted on the website, comment there, and that's where we get your questions. And so, shall we?
First one coming in from the greatest show on dirt. Of course, just recently learned how to comment. First time commenter yesterday. He says, thanks for reading the comment.
Makes it sound like riding a bike. Just recently learned how.
Or at least practiced it. He says, thanks for reading the comment from yesterday's pod. The backstory on the username is related to my hometown of Knoxville. They have a world-famous dirt racetrack, which hosts a sprint car racing series called the World of Outlaws, and the series is pretty regularly called the Greatest Show on Dirt. I do enjoy motocross and horses, though, so I'm impressed by the quick, on-the-spot detective work from you two. You guys have profiled me pretty well. I'm also going to guess he's a Broncos fan.
I think so, too. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does.
When we go on the world tour, we got to go to the Greatest Show on Dirt.
Dirt race track.
It's a car. It's like cars.
Sprint car racing series.
Yeah, you remember the level in Mario Kart where you're on the dirt and you have to like go over that jump?
Yeah,
it's just like that.
In one of those in one of those cars?
Yeah, exactly.
He also says, you guys rule. Yes, this is part of the actual comment, and Zach isn't making it up.
For anyone who's tuning in on Periscope, they're probably just now realizing that you got to tune in every day.
Yep.
Or else you're going to miss some inside jokes. Yep. All right. The next one here comes in from Kale Sorbo. He says, have to get in on all this Iowa talk. Another thing that someone that's listening for the first time is like, what are they talking about?
Aren't these the Denver Broncos?
He says, I'm bummed about this new revelation. And the revelation, of course, is that there are many people from Iowa that listen to this podcast. He says, I just graduated from Drake on Sunday. Former, I guess I can't call it an alma mater.
Right.
What do you call something that someone went to and left?
A freshman year.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Zach went to Drake once.
I did.
And he says, I just moved back to Denver yesterday. You should not be bummed about this.
No, this is good news.
He says, it would have been awesome to see some BSN people and watch the games with them over the past few years.
You'll probably be with more Broncos fans now.
He goes on and talks about some more stuff that people that are listening and have no clue. He says, hot take for Des Moines, peep. Zombie Burger and Fong's Pizza are kind of trash. Fong's is only good for novelty pizza like Crab Rangoon, but only real pizza. But any real pizza like pepperoni there is not great. So that is a hot Des Moines take.
I know you would try the Crab Rangoon pizza in the middle of Des Moines.
I already have, and it's good.
Oh, what is it? Is it just Crab Rangoons on top of pizza?
Yep.
Or do they totally change the pizza?
No, it's just, I don't remember what the sauce was. I think it was a creamy sauce.
It makes
sense. It wasn't a marinara, if I recall.
Cream cheese sauce.
Oh, so good. Anyways, he says, actual Broncos question. PFF recently sparked a Twitter debate. They basically found that strong pass coverage leads to more wins than strong pass rush. Mm. With that in mind, is this why the Broncos keep using draft picks on the secondary players and heavily investing there in free agency? And if that's the case, can they really afford to let Chris Harris Jr. walk out the door? It's been a while, so oh yeah, I already got that part right.
that's interesting. And you know what? John Elway doesn't want to find out. John Elway doesn't want to find out which one it is. He's just going to say, I'll invest in both. Obviously, his first pick, Von Miller. Then what's he do the next time he has a top five pick? Bradley Chubb. He spends tons of money on Aqib Talib, tons of money on Chris Harris Jr. As you wisely pointed out, beginning of this week or last week, when Chris signed that deal, although it's viewed as a hometown cheap discount deal now, he was the highest number two paid cornerback in the whole league. So John was spending money there. Bradley Roby, he spent money on last year with the fifth-year option. He spent money—
far too much.
Exactly. He spent money with T.J. Ward, with Darian Stewart. So he spent tons of money on both of those. This year, what's he done? He spent money on Kareem Jackson, on Bryce Callahan, potentially giving Chris a pay raise. We'll dive into that in just a second. But I don't know if we're going to have to find out in the John Elway era which one it is. I think John's just going to continue to invest in both of these.
You know why quarterback is so important?
Why?
Because it's the only position on the field that's not dependent. Now, you could make the argument that it's dependent on the offensive line, which I'll buy into. But when it comes down to it, a great quarterback can win on his own, yep, for the most part.
Yep.
No other position can say that. Because you can say that pass coverage is more valuable than pass rush. The thing is, those two things have to work hand in hand, or both of them are worthless. If you have the greatest group of corners in the world, and you've got me and Zach as your edge rushers...
Speak for yourself there, buddy.
Those corners are going to get beat.
Yeah.
Because they can't cover forever.
Yeah.
And Zach and I are just getting knocked around like a couple of rag dolls in the trenches. Every time we try and stand up, they just push us down again. And your corners are toast. The other way around, you can have the best pass rush in the world, but if there's, you know, Bradley Roby back there getting cooked by God knows who on the Jets, then Robbie Anderson, is that his name?
Sounds good.
Then it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Because by the time Von Miller is getting by whatever, you know, garbage lineman they have, Sam Darnold's already thrown it 60 yards in the air. And Robbie Anderson is running under it, going, you know, hog wild out there. So you can't pick one of those. They're dependent on each other. They're the same position, in my opinion. Your pass rush is only as good as your pass coverage. Your pass coverage is only as good as your pass rush.
Got to have one.
You got to have both.
I'm saying if you could only have one, one got to go.
One got to go. Pass rush or pass coverage. I would rather have the coverage because of this. You're obviously not going to have you or me rushing the passer. But if you have a below average pass rush, but the coverage is good, they're going to at least have a chance. If you have terrible corners who have to give a 10-yard cushion, Von Miller has no chance of getting anything done all day. And we honestly saw that a lot last year. Now, especially once the secondary started breaking down. Remember when, who was the guy who, I can't even remember his name. They had to bring in some corner at the end of the season who...
Who signed with another team now. Blows my mind.
Good for him. He was a veteran.
Yeah.
It's not Pac-Man Jones. Some other guy.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, they had to bring him in, and they're playing way off the line. And... whatever quarterback they're going up against is just like, okay, well, we'll just throw slants and comebacks and quick outs all day. Von Miller's there like, I can't even get into my first move before the ball's out of their hand.
Give me the pass rusher. I think they can impact the play more just by themselves. So give me the dominant pass rusher. But like you said, they work together.
Yeah, in the end, you have to constantly be helping them. It's the same thing for the quarterback, but it's like wide receiver. You know, like, you can have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, but if you have Trevor Siemian throwing to them, they're not worth what you're paying them.
Exactly. Now, Ryan, let's break up this conversation with a little food talk. Rob chiming in about the Iowa. He says, when I moved to Iowa, I asked some locals for a good place to get ramen. They got really confused and thought ramen was legitimately those 30-cent pack of top ramen you buy at the store. I miss having real food.
I read this last night, and I laughed out loud. That's hilarious.
It took me forever for my mind to change.
I guarantee there is a place in Des Moines where you can get ramen.
Has to be.
It's a real city.
There has to be. He says, I will say that the meat in Iowa is really good, and the barbecue tends to be good because of the quality of the meat. I miss spicy food, though. Maybe someday I'll move back to civilization.
Spicy food there?
Spices are not allowed in those borders.
It's funny that he brings up the meat. I don't even know if I've ever revealed this. My stepdad is from Iowa.
Oh.
And he is obsessed with Iowa beef. And there was a time, I think he's moved past this, there was a time where he legitimately wouldn't eat beef if it wasn't from Iowa.
Is it easy to find Iowa beef in Colorado?
I believe, and maybe this has changed, but at the time, Costco carried Iowa beef.
Okay.
And so that's where all the beef came from in my household.
So you've had a decent amount of Iowa beef.
A lot.
Could I put two burgers or two steaks, fillets, you name it, in front of you? One from Iowa, one not.
Under absolutely no circumstances.
Do you think he could?
Probably.
Impressive.
I think he would want to say he could.
He would guess well.
He would just, yeah. I mean, he might end up getting it wrong. But if you asked him that same question, he would say he could.
Right, right. Well, Ryan, let's touch on Chris Harris right now.
Okay.
And some news coming out. I guess not really news, just a tiny bit more detail coming out this morning from Mike Kliss. He says, John Elway and Chris's agent have talked and had multiple discussions in recent days. Both sides have moved. Talks are focused on adjustments to Harris's 2019 payout. Progress, but still no agreement. So, Ryan, the tweak here and the little more information is that we are just focusing on 2019 now. And we talked about this when it was called a short-term deal. But really, if the talks are just about 2019, I already know how you feel, but what?
This is silly.
Yeah.
I'll just say this right now. I'm going to head down to Broncos headquarters and ask for some money. Apparently, that's all you got to do. Why? I just don't. There was the commenter yesterday who had the idea about doing it in good faith so that next year you can come back and say, like, hey, we gave you a raise for nothing last year. Like, stay with us. The market already says you're not getting 15, so come back here. We'll give you 11. That's the only thing I can come up with. And you and I are pretty dead set on the fact that someone out there is going to, quote unquote, overpay Chris, even though he's going to be 31 years old, because they want a lockdown corner and they need a lockdown corner. Otherwise, why are you giving Chris money that you don't have to?
It makes no sense. And I feel like I'm being fooled. I feel like John Elway is not having these conversations, and I'm not doubting Mike's sources at all. I know he has great sources. I can't wrap my mind around this. It doesn't make sense. This is the opposite of what John would do. John, I feel, would sit back and say, all right, well, yeah, that's not going to happen, Chris. You're going to play here next year. And Ryan, we brought out the idea of the Broncos could even franchise tag him next year. And we thought the number would be, what, $14 million because...
And it's higher than that.
And yeah, and I saw that it's, what, $16 million, I believe, is what it's projected to be. If it's $16 million, you're paying him $8 million this year. For 2 years, you're paying him $24 million. It's $12 million a year. Why would you go out and pay him $15 million of that this year just to lose him? No. I'm saying if you want $15 million from us, you're going to get it over the next 2 years, and it'll come at the price of $24 million. And that's $12 million. If they sign Chris to 2 years, $12 million, or $24 million total, 12 a year, we'd be like, okay, it's not the worst thing. We both thought it'd be 11 and a half, so half a million dollars more. That's okay.
Do you have any idea why the cornerback tag is so high? I thought Xavien Howard just became the highest paid corner at like 15.75.
And that's why the 16 number didn't fully make sense to me, but I was going out on that limb, on the limb of it being 16, it being so much higher. It doesn't make sense because isn't the franchise tag the five highest paid guys of that position, the average of that?
Yes, it's very simple. So this is saying that the median or the average is 16. That means there's multiple corners getting paid 18.
It doesn't make, unless it's not a per, it's not based on the average of your contract. If it's based on like the cash flow that year,
like you think maybe Josh Norman's contract was backloaded, so he's getting paid like 19 this year,
potentially.
God, and that would be terrible.
Oh, it would be awful. And if it's that, then that 16 makes sense. But let's say that number was wrong and let's say it is the 14, then it's $22 million for the next 2 years because you add on his 8 from this year. Then you're paying him $11 million. Why would you go above that? Why would you do that to yourself?
The only word that applies here is why.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
And we've said it a million times. We'll say it again. I'm not against Chris getting money.
No.
In any sense. And none of this money belongs to me. Although it might soon when I go down there and say, hey, can I have a couple of million? Are we just handing it out here? But it doesn't add up at all.
No.
None of it makes sense. I'm utterly confused by the entire scenario. And the only thing I can come up with is that the Broncos are being actually held hostage by Chris not being there. Like, they think this is a really big deal. And obviously they're not trying to convey that publicly. But the only thing I can think of is they're like, we got to get Chris here sooner or later because we're tired of having the Boz out there as our starting corner.
Being lazy.
And he's hating on the Boz. And we need Chris to come learn the system. Like, maybe Fangio is saying, like, dude, Chris cannot learn the system in 3 weeks.
And that's what it would have to boil down to, is Vic saying this is too complicated of a system for a smart guy to learn just in training camp, which I don't think that would be the case. I don't think it would be the case because, Ryan, I don't think that Chris would miss this year. I don't think he would sit out if he didn't have a contract. I think he would play for that $8 million. And so if he's going to play for the $8 million and you're going to let him walk this year and pay him $8 million this year, or you're going to let him be a little bit happier and get him back, what, with it right now? You only get him back for 2 weeks left of this offseason program. If you sign him right now, he's back on Monday, and then you only have 2 weeks left. So you're paying him $7 million more for 2 more weeks of work and maybe a few weeks of training camp. Maybe he doesn't show up to the first part of training camp. So you pay him for a few weeks of training camp, and for him to be a little happier? He wants a long-term deal. I'm sure $15 million would make him happy right now, but that's not his end game, is $15 million for the rest of his career. So he's still going to be mad, and he's still going to leave after this year. It doesn't make sense.
And you're in, like, a similar scenario to the way you were with Shane Ray. Now, Chris probably isn't going to have a bad attitude about this, but you're still in that scenario. You're still in that I'm going to break up with you next year thing where you're still in a relationship, but you're just waiting for the lease to expire.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense at all. And
I get it if it's like $2 to $3 million. That should be all they're willing to give up. And even then, it's almost unprecedented.
Yep.
You're just handing money over for a service that you already have.
It was completely unprecedented for John Elway to just give incentives to Chris last year. He had never done that before. Of course it'd be unprecedented. It'd be completely out of nowhere for him to actually just straight up give cash to him.
You ever been like at Chipotle and they're like, that's going to be $8.75. And you're like, you know what? Just take 15. Just keep the change. Like, no one does that. You already got the burrito for that great price.
They agreed to that deal.
Right.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
It was on the menu.
They posted it on the menu. They're like, this is $8.75. And even if you got to the cash register and they were like, come on, give us 15 for this burrito, you would say no. You'd be like, what do you mean? You already said it's $8.75. I'm not giving you 15 for that.
And they would say, okay, fine.
And they're like, what if we throw in some guac? And you're like, that's still not a good deal for me.
What would be Chris's guac?
that's his good attitude.
Oh, okay.
Comes a little earlier. They're like, we'll make it a little faster. It's like, no. You're like, it's already pretty fast.
I feel like I'm being duped by all of these, especially because it would make sense if this information was coming out from one side, and then the next day we heard a counter side, you know, John coming back and saying, ha, yeah, right on that. We haven't heard that. And maybe John doesn't want to offend Chris, which, again, wouldn't necessarily be a John Elway move. I mean, John
Isn't
was...
Isn't it offensive that he doesn't want to sign him to a long-term deal?
Yeah. What does that mean?
Unless the sides are coming to agreement, this is like a prove-it deal. Can you imagine having a four-time Pro Bowler on a prove-it deal?
Oh, wow. And then If it is that, he's not going to take a discount next year because he's going to hit the open market and he's going to go and get every penny. And that's when he can go and get potentially $15 million.
I'm lost.
I am too. And it still goes on that there's still progress to be made. Not close. Probably not happening soon. I don't... I'd be blown away. I'd still be shocked if this happened because it doesn't make sense.
I feel like it's going to happen and we're just going to be sitting here like, that's weird. They said, you know, Mike said that both sides have already moved. So at least, you know, they've probably come down from 15.
Right.
I guess the Broncos, maybe their initial offer was 2 million extra.
Right.
So if they came, maybe they're sitting at like 12 and 14 right now.
Right.
Are they really going to come together on Chris just being handed $5 million?
That's why maybe the Broncos offer was, we'll give him a pay raise this year. We'll give him $1 million extra. We'll make it $9 million. And Chris said, okay, you know what? We'll take $14.5 million. And progress. That's progress right there. You know, maybe that's where it is. And so that's progress. They're both moving together, and there's still a ways to go.
I'm meeting with Brandon Spano later today. I'm just gonna ask for $1 million.
Let me know how that goes.
All right.
And if so, I'm gonna ask you for $500,000.
We can split it.
That was easy negotiating.
It was.
Maybe. I don't think John's that easy.
Okay.
Is he?
Well, if Chris only wanted $1 million, maybe it was.
Hey, it's only $1 million, right?
When I was a senior in high school, I had a very low C in a class, and my teacher, who was pretty chill, just said, like, all right, if you want, you can schedule a meeting with me to talk about your grade. I'm like, all right, I'll take my shot here. So I go into the meeting and I'm just like, I feel like I've participated in all class discussions. I show up every day, which I did. I was not a skipper. I've done the readings. That was a lie. I really feel like I've taken away just as much as anyone else from this class. And I realized that I, you know, struggled on a couple of the tests because obviously I didn't study for them. But I think in the end, when you compare what I'm taking away from this class with whoever the highest grade in the class, I think it's very comparable.
That's and so beautiful.
I think that I deserve an A.
An A?
Yeah, from C minus. And the teacher was like, I'll give you a B+.
There you go.
And I walked out and felt great. Went home, and it was all sunshine and rainbow. So that's what I feel like this is.
Right.
I did nothing to earn that. Like, I had very clearly earned a C minus in the class.
Yep.
And I just asked for more and got it.
I just don't see John being that easy as that teacher.
Yeah. I'm not going to call him out publicly. I don't want to get in trouble.
I'd say that's a great teacher.
But he was awesome. Great teacher. If you're in high school, you should try this. You should try that.
Did you try multiple times?
Yeah, I did. You know what?
Same results?
This is how I got through high school. Not as easy as that. But I would go into the teacher and make like a deal with them. So I'd be like, I know I've done one out of the 34 homeworks, but what if I go through each homework assignment and do 2 questions on each one, bring it into you, and you see that I did the work and it's all right, then you give me half credit on all of those homeworks, and then if I get a C or if I get a B or an A on the final, then you give me a passing grade in the class. And the teachers would take the deal.
So what? You ended up having 1 week of work?
Yep.
You know, one terrible week where you grind through everything?
Yep.
That's working smarter.
Here's the little advice for those of you in high school. The teachers do not want to fail you, especially if you're nice.
Right.
Now, if you're, you know, a bag to them, you're in trouble.
Yep.
But if you're nice, if you do participate in the class discussions, they don't want to fail you. That sucks for them.
Yep.
So they're willing to make a deal.
Life advice.
There you go. Life advice for the 5 people in high school who listen to this podcast. All right. We got to take a quick break, but when we come back on the other side, we will get to the rest of your questions.
Green Mountain Dental has a long-standing tradition of being one of Lakewood's best family dental care offices?
I have been a patient since I was 3, which is in 1974. You know, my parents, myself, and now my children all go there. It's just a great place to be, very positive experience with them, definitely.
New patients can receive free teeth whitening trays when they schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Also, all colored sport mouth guards start at just $25.
The doctors will come out and visit with you, ask you how your family is doing. You know, just very friendly and family-oriented. It's just very comfortable to be there.
That's greenmountaindentalgroup.com.
On the BSN Broncos podcast, and we are getting to the rest of your questions, finishing things off here. And this one comes in from Rob. He says, hidden gem in Denver, and we talked about these yesterday. Two Penguins Tap and Grill off Arapaho. Great local beer selection in an outdoor area with live music. Does this sound like an ad?
It does sound like an ad.
I think Rob owns Two Penguins.
I'm going to add to that ad. Well, that's by Dove Valley, too. I'm going to a wedding there. 1 week after the Broncos end their off-season program. So I'll come and report.
They're going to have to call it Three Penguins when the when the groom shows up with his suit on.
I like that.
You shouldn't. He says, on to the Broncos.
Now I've got something to bring to the wedding, so thank you.
There you go. Yeah, you can use that one. I just gave you. That's going to be a hit. Everyone gets a little, you know, has like 3 or 4 drinks.
Yep.
They're looking for a joke like that.
Yep.
He says, on to the Broncos. Why does Von Miller take it easy in practice? I've heard he blows up plays in practice, but isn't that an opportunity for the offensive line to adjust and get better? They may not face off against Von in a game, but they'll see other game-breaking pass rushers like Khalil Mack this season. Chris Harris and DT both got better playing against each other every day. Why doesn't the same logic apply to Von and the offensive line?
You know what? That's going to be a good question for Vic that you or I will ask next time we talk to him is, does he tell Von to take some plays off or go 65%? Because in the past, coaches have admitted that, you know, Von ruined. I think what Vance said that Von ruins practices if he goes all out every time. So that's the reason why some coaches have had that mindset for him is, can Garrett Bowles get better if he's burned off the line every single time and never, ever has a chance to set his feet? Probably not. That's probably going to be tough. Now, if he gets those chances and he gets hundreds of chances to set his feet and then he sees Von Miller and then he gets that extra step and then it is good to go against something like that.
Play the metaphor music. It's not a relationship metaphor, but if you walk into the gym today and try to bench press and you try to bench press 300 pounds, all you're going to do is end up with a bar going through your ribs.
Yep.
If you go in today and you start trying to bench 85 pounds and then you go tomorrow and maybe you go for 90 and you slowly work your way up, you will eventually get to that 300.
Mm.
But Von Miller going up against these guys is like them trying to bench press 300 pounds. And maybe it's not a good analogy for huge NFL offensive linemen because they can probably bench press 300 pounds. Maybe I need to go for like 600. But the point is, one, they need time to be able to figure it out. But two, and this is probably the most important thing, practice is not about the offensive line getting better. It's about the whole team getting better. And will Juwan James benefit from Von Miller trying to beat him every time? Probably. But everyone else suffers because Joe Flacco doesn't get the ball out and the corners don't get to see if they actually had good position on the receiver. And the receivers don't get to know if they ran their route. It's just the play's over in like 3 seconds. And then they just set it and reset. So if this is a one-on-one drill, Von is doing them no favors by going soft.
Yep.
But if he goes hard all day, every day, Juwan James probably gets better and no one else does.
Exactly. So you're telling me though, Ryan, that I could bench 300 pounds one day?
You're going to need a lot of protein.
I like protein. Maybe some Iowa beef.
You're going to need a lot of Iowa beef. I'm going to need you to put down like 3,500 calories a day.
That's going to be tough.
You're going to need you to eat your weight every day.
Oh, man. Next one coming in from Vertical Socks. He says, how long do you think the Broncos will keep up the farce that Hogan is the number 2 quarterback? Ugh. Do you think they'll keep it this way all the way through OTAs and minicamp and then make the switch to Locke early in training camp? I can understand that they want to make Locke earn his spot in the pecking order, but it seems like such a waste of time to keep giving second team reps to a guy who no one believes is going to be on the team in the fall. Did you write this comment, Ryan?
I was going to say, you think it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of our time. We're the ones that have to watch it.
Yep.
I'm actually very concerned that they're going to keep this facade up for a long time. Like, all the way through the Hall of Fame game. I think Kevin Hogan might start the Hall of Fame game.
Stop. Stop. No. But, Ryan, this is something where both practices we've seen, one of the first things we've said to each other is, come on.
Really?
Are you kidding me? Why do we have to do this? Now, Drew did get in there for some number twos this past practice.
Drew's twos.
Drew's twos, as Ryan called it. I love it. Blue's Clues.
Yep, if you don't there you
get the reference. That better keep happening. That trend better keep happening.
Just stop. It's one thing if, I don't know, it was Trevor Siemian or something. Like an established guy who has shown himself to be a reliable backup quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. Like, why is Kevin Hogan even here? The only reason he's here is because the Broncos didn't know how the draft was going to fall.
If they're good, the reason Kevin Hogan's here is because he was given, what, a $200,000, $300,000 signing bonus, something like that?
I think it's like $180,000.
$180,000? If that is too much to cut him, then what are you doing giving Chris $7 million extra?
Is someone going to have to get cut for Chris to get that money? I mean, we know this salary cap is a farce, but...
Yeah, someone may have to move around a bit. I'll look into that.
Like, could you imagine if they just cut Derek Wolfe because they just had to give Chris Harris Jr. a bunch of money for no reason?
Yeah. Now, they have $10 million of cap space right now, but I don't know if that includes the contracts that have already been signed from the rookies and the ones that haven't been signed. I'm not sure if they
include
that
immediately. Just two contracts, right?
That have been signed, correct.
How weird is it that these guys are practicing without a contract?
Yeah, and they signed an insurance policy for rookie minicamp. Didn't say extended to this part.
I'm sure they just signed another one and that just hasn't been reported. But I just find it so odd. They're out there without a contract. And I realize it's a foregone conclusion that they'll get one. But technically, if one of them got injured, could the Broncos not sign them?
There's no contract.
That's so weird.
It's very weird. And what's extra weird about it, I think there's really only wiggle room in contracts for third-round picks. There's some weird thing where they have wiggle room. So Draymond Jones makes sense why he's not signed. I have no idea why the first three aren't signed.
Anyways, moving. I think it could go all the way to the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, the Kevin Hogan?
Yep.
Oh.
Hogan mania.
Until Drew lights it up and takes it away?
Yeah, I think Drew then like plays really well in that game, and that's that.
Yep.
That's such a waste of our time.
We'll move on then. Next one from Minnesota Poly says, my bad, guys. I should have included a pronunciation guide when he threw out the flaga in terms of the Drew Locke, Joe Flacco
saga
debate. Yes, he says, I meant flaga, pronounced like saga. You take saga and replace the SA with flow, but fla is short for Flacco and Locke. You know what? Now that I typed out this explanation, I realize it was a stretch. Flacco Chronicles it is.
All right. I'm glad we have everyone on board. Minnesota Paul is the last one we needed to move on to our side of the aisle. It's Flacco Chronicles forever.
Love it. It's beautiful.
Next one here is from Drop Switch. He says, I'm so happy for Champ. He's always been a favorite Bronco, my favorite Bronco of all time. I still have my old white 24 jersey. It was the first Broncos jersey I ever owned. People should tell us what their first Broncos jersey is. That's a good one for people to just chime in at the end of their comment.
Yep.
He says, what was the first Broncos and NFL jersey you ever owned? You want to answer that?
I'm not a jersey guy.
You have no jerseys?
No jerseys. Zero.
Bro, when I was in first through third grade, I kid you not, I wore a jersey to school every day.
Wow.
Only clothes I ever asked for were jerseys. And looking back, that was like kind of messed up. But at least
pretty baller.
The youth jerseys were like kind of cheap. I'm just saying for like my parents.
Right.
Like you can't be doing that with hockey sweaters.
No.
But at least like a youth, not sewn on, you know, they're the ones that were kind of like ironed on.
Yep.
The first one I had, though, is actually a really good question because I don't know if I can answer that with certainty. But if I had to guess, I think it was Elway. With TD right behind him. I also had a Rod Smith. I somehow ended up with a Brian Griese.
You jumped on that right away.
I think that's all the Broncos jerseys I ever had. I also had a Nick Van Axel. Do you remember him?
Of course.
Rafe LaFrance.
Wow.
Antonio McDice.
Of course. Love it.
I had a custom Nuggets jersey that said Konigsberg on the back.
What number?
One.
Of course.
Obviously. I had a Todd Helton jersey. I had a custom Rockies jersey.
With one?
Yep. Trying to remember. And then I had a, for some reason, basketball was the only one where I like wanted other teams. I had Kobe, Vince Carter, Allen Iverson.
You still got this stash?
Yep, I do.
Impressive.
These things are so small, dude. Like, you wouldn't even be able to get them over your shoulders. They are tiny, tiny little jerseys.
Oh, man. You know what? Now that I think about it, I do have one jersey. It's a World Series Todd Helton Rockies jersey. I got it because...
Like authentic?
Authentic. Yeah, wow. Very authentic. A really expensive one. I got it because someone, as a wedding present, gave it to my sister-in-law. It was way too big for her, but too small for her husband, my brother. So they were like, do you want it? I'm like, sure. I'll take this $300 jersey.
Bro, why didn't they just like put it in a frame or something?
It's a thing of beauty.
What they should have done, because it's got a little World Series patch on the arm.
Exactly.
So they should have put it in a frame with like the Helton on the back and then folded that back in the frame so you could see the World Series patch.
You'll like this.
You could probably send it to his little ranch and get it autographed.
You know what? They should have done that before.
You should do that.
I should do that. He has, I don't know, especially now that I think of this, he has the John Elway Super Bowl MVP jersey. Signed and framed.
Ooh.
He has a Terrell Davis Super Bowl jersey frame ready to go. He just needs it signed. And he has the Von Miller Super Bowl 50 MVP jersey signed and framed.
Wow. Oh, he can get that TD autograph very easily.
How?
Just reach out. Find his email. He just started a CBD.
That's true. He was in Denver. Yeah.
Yep. He has a CBD sports drink. I guarantee you, if you reach out to him, in one way or another, and say, hey, I'm looking to complete this collection, he'll do it for sure.
Well, you're his new best friend. I'll tell him.
Yeah, no, that'll happen. Easy. I was obsessed with sports memorabilia when I was a kid. So I have lots of really cool stuff. When Todd Helton won the batting title, he had 372.
Yeah.
They made 372 of these like limited edition pennants that have them on there. And I have that signed by Todd Helton. That's one of my favorite ones. I have lots of stuff. I have like a Clinton Portis autographed picture. I have when John Elway used to do his golf tournament.
Yep.
That would be like a who's who. Like have there been so many famous people in Colorado. Yeah. I would just go, I was like 7 years old or something.
Perfect age.
Just go stand on the tee box of one of the holes and just like hand stuff to the guys. And I have like thousands of autographs, like Charles Barkley autographed basketball. Wow. Like it's crazy.
Wow.
Anyways, got a little off topic there.
I don't know. How do we even get there? Oh, we were asked.
He asked.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He said, I remember when the trade happened, of course, for Champ Bailey. I was in such shock as a teen. I will always remember his playoff pick against Brady, prime versus prime. Then he just out of nowhere just goes, are you guys dog people?
What?
It's just in the middle of this paragraph.
It is.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I love dogs.
I've had as many as four dogs at a time.
You know, I'm a dog and cat person.
Honestly, like I sometimes joke like, oh, cats are the worst, blah, blah, blah. I'm really just extremely allergic to them. So
there you go. That's fair.
Kind of kills it for me. I would like cats otherwise. Okay, now to Joe Flacco, he says in the same paragraph. I like the fact that he's going to have a top-tier defense. A good run game and quick passing decisions sounds like a playoff-caliber team to me. Just look at the Seahawks. I know you can't compare Flacco's physical traits to Wilson's, but you can compare the mental side and experiences they have learned from. A little long there. I should put the evergreen down. I don't know what that means. But anyways, that was an interesting paragraph. It's all one paragraph.
So Joe Flacco is Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Okay.
He is a scrambling... No. The Seahawks, I think, ran the ball more than anyone else last year.
Hmm.
That is a formula for success. Great defense, and their defense was diminished. But yeah, they did end up having a better defense than anyone wanted to give them credit for.
Yeah.
Good defense, run the ball, a quarterback that can be clutch on third downs and in the red zone. If you have that, you will make the playoffs.
Speaking of the Seahawks defense, Bobby Wagner is not participating in their OTAs as he's holding out for a new contract. He wants to top the $17 million that C.J. Mosley got.
Wow.
As he probably should, but holy cow.
Speaking of linebackers named Bobby, this last one here comes in from Bobby Boucher.
Ah, beautiful.
He says, "Hey, fellas, thanks for the great coverage this offseason. In the past 4 months, I've learned more about the offseason and nuances of the NFL and team dynamics than I have in all my prior years."
That is too cool.
He's 1 year old. To be fair, I usually just checked out after the Super Bowl, but you guys did keep me engaged, so kudos to you. We really appreciate that.
We do.
He says, "Are there any updates on Philip Lindsay? Is his wrist healing according to plan? Also, assuming Sanders is at 100% or close to it, what do you guys think the receiver squad will be 1 through 5? All right, a lot of questions here. So let's start one by one. Updates on 30. He is progressing, but they're taking it slow.
Yep, he's running through non-contact drills, holding the ball in his left hand because he had, not because, but he's not doing anything with the right hand, but he looks fine. He looks great, actually.
His feet look fast.
Yep.
He's got a sweet dark visor on.
Yep.
He's doing just well, just fine. All right, receivers 1 through 5, go.
Emmanuel Sanders, 100% healthy. Cortland Sutton, Deshaun, Tim Patrick.
Juwan Winfrey?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I still think they're going to carve out a sixth for Brennan Langley.
Yep, exactly.
All right, that was easy. For some unknown reason, he goes on, "Last year I had this persistent feeling that Hamilton was going to blow up. It was just a gut feeling, but every week I kept saying to myself, this is the week. That never materialized, so I'm curious what your take on him is."
I like Deshaun, and I don't think he got enough credit for the way he ended the season. Cortland Sutton did not show up when he was a number one receiver. He was bad. Now, his stats at the end of the year were great, but I'm trying to pull up the game logs really quick for Deshaun to see how he ended. Ryan, what were your thoughts on him?
I kind of felt the same way as Bobby Boucher. I thought he was going to break out late in the season. I'll say this. When I watch him, I think of the word safety blanket. I think he's going to get a lot of catches on third down from Joe Flacco.
Fair. And his final four games, 7 catches, 47 yards, a touchdown, 7 catches, 46 yards, no touchdown, 6 catches, 40 yards, a touchdown, 5 catches, 49 yards, no touchdown. I mean, for a rookie to end like that, that's pretty strong in my mind. I mean, 728 yards isn't blowing things out of the water, but Ryan, that's a pace of 100 catches for the season.
Yeah, he definitely came on strong. And don't forget that he had an injury that he had to overcome in the middle of the season because for some reason they felt the need to put him back there as a punt returner.
Please don't do that again with any valuable player.
I mean, Philip Lindsay was back there at one point.
That's why you keep a 6 wide receiver in Brendan Langley.
Exactly. He finishes here and says, "Lastly, unless someone else mentioned it prior to me listening to you guys, I think I was the first to request tall sizes in BSN merch." He self-diagnoses that as a weird flex. Says, "I'm not that tall. I don't know why we're going down this road." He says, "Anyway, I hope there is enough demand at some point to justify the inventory because I would buy every flavor of Broncos and Nugget shirts you have. No Rockies, however, because baseball isn't really even a sport." What a take.
Wow.
Says, "Take care, boys."
Don't worry. That wasn't us, guys. Don't be coming at us.
Yeah, not us. We like all sports. Which is actually true.
We're happy that you like us, Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, maybe we'll come up with it. I mean, have you tried the double X? Because that's what someone else who was tall once said.
Yeah, he says he looks like Slender Man.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Well, I actually have heard of the Slender Man. It was kind of creepy, like YouTube thing that ended up in someone dying, getting killed. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, and real?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Hopefully that's not what he's talking about.
Maybe there's a different Slender Man.
A more lighthearted one.
like maybe that's like a superhero?
Let's hope so, yeah.
I feel like that would resonate with you.
That's my guy. I don't know if that's my guy, though, if there's only one Slender Man.
This is probably one of those things that's over our head.
I'm just Googled it, and there's some scary pictures. Not someone dying, but just a very creepy thing.
Oh, Zach's going to have nightmares now, guys. Why you got to do this to him?
Right as we end. No happy thoughts. Right,
yeah. This is like going to bed, like you watch something scary right before you go to bed.
I'll just think of the draft being in Cleveland.
That is pretty scary. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us today. So we appreciate all of you guys for tuning in. Thanks to all the people who tuned in with us on Periscope and got a little sneak peek at what my apartment looks like. But we will catch back up with you tomorrow back at Broncos headquarters. And until then, have a great one. It's getting me down, waiting up for you.
Guys, it's Allie and Lindsay here, and we want to talk to you about our new favorite wine subscription.
It is Winestr. The best thing about Winestr is that they work with small wineries.
You know BSN loves supporting small local businesses, and Winestr is just that, supporting real people making real wine.
These guys will curate a hand-picked shipment for you from the best small wine producers in the U.S.
So my favorite part about Winestr is the fact that I don't really know much about wine, and when I go to a liquor store, I tend to gravitate towards the same wine I've always had instead of trying something new. But with Winestr, they make the process so easy.
That's exactly right, Allie. And from my perspective, you guys, I love wine and have tried so many different types of wine at different price points. And Winestr is not only easy, but it is quite literally some of the best wine I've ever tasted, and it makes for an amazing gift.
What's also ideal about Winestr is that you can pick your shipments based on your schedule.
That's right, Allie. So whether you're a casual drinker or you love hosting parties, you can get your shipment based on your lifestyle. So head to their website today, you guys. That's Winestr, Winestr.com. We've got BSN25 promo code for you, and you can save $25 off your first order.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.